Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, planning for retirement can be daunting, but navigating the pitfalls can make all the difference in the world. So from delaying your planning to underestimating your future costs, these missteps can really significantly impact your retirement. So today we're going to show you some proactive strategies to sidestep these common errors and secure a comfortable retirement and a stress-free one for you.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker and Steve Siddall. Kevin, independent fiduciary with Silverleaf Financial. He's been helping folks for more than 30 years. He's an author. He's got a couple of different books available. SilverleafFinancial.com is the website. Check it out. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
We're doing great. You know what? This market has come back really roar, and life is good again.
Yeah, huh? How about it?
Oh, my gosh. You know, if anyone was listening to the show the last week or two, I was talking about some of the artificial intelligence stocks. I mentioned NVIDIA. Could have bought it last week at 105. Today it's at 122. So these stocks is really important, if you guys are in these, to understand. They can be very volatile, so they're going to fluctuate all over the place. So don't let them, you know, fluck you out, if you will.
Sure.
Right? You know, don't let the fluctuation scare you out, okay? What you've got to do is just step back. When you see this crazy volatility in the market like we saw recently, I think it's a good time to step back and look at your portfolio and remind yourself why you own what you own. In the case of NVIDIA, I've had it for quite a while. I rode it all the way up to 140 bucks, and I rode it all the way back down below 100. Why would you do that, some people might say, right?
Sure.
My answer, you know what? If you ever want to have, you know, you want to double your money, triple your money, see 5-10 times on your money, in my opinion, you have to be willing to go through the ups and downs to do it, because nothing goes straight to the sky. And so inevitably, if you look back at any of the most successful investors out there, they you've got to be in there when it's lousy. You know, Warren Buffett is famous for saying to be greedy when others are fearful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about, is at that moment in time. I still remember back in the 08 and the housing, the Great Recession, we called it.
Sure.
And the housing crisis. And I remember when everything, so many banks and things were just getting absolutely crushed. Do you remember when Warren Buffett is the one that they called at night and on the weekends? Hey, Warren, you know what? You want to send us some money? And Warren negotiated, Buffett negotiated private deals like a private lender, where he got a set interest rate that he determined. I think it was like 8 or 9%. And he got shares of the company, right? So that was his deal. I think he did it with Bank of America, if I'm remembering correctly. Some big, big, big institutions. Now, granted, he gave them billions of dollars, loaned them billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But that's who they called, and he applied his own logic, his own wisdom, to be greedy when others are fearful. And guess what? He's continuing to be one of the richest men in the world.
Of course.
So I think we should all heed that advice. Don't panic. When these markets sell off like that, don't panic. If it's causing you to lose sleep or it's really stressing you out, then you really want to have a talk with your advisor, because I would suggest that you might be taking more risk than you're comfortable with. And that's one of the biggest things as an advisor, that we want to help determine that level of risk for you. Because one thing I know after doing this for a few decades, Steve, is that if somebody's uncomfortable, it's going to be very difficult for them to look at the long term, because they're going to get upset. They're going to be bothered by that short-term movement. Yep. They might get bothered by those losses. And it is virtually impossible to convince them to hold in long-term, because they just don't want to sit. They don't want to look at the loss. They don't want to – because we don't know how long it's going to be sometimes before it comes back.
Sure.
You know, this case, it swung back really quickly. Other times, you know, a sell-off can last 6, 7, 8 months. I think the average bear market is 8 or 9 months. So the good news is that the average bull market is about 3 years. So we know 3/4 of the time, guys, the market goes higher. So when you see these things trading at a discount, that's why I've talked about before, to have that shopping list ready. So last week, if you had a shopping list ready, you could have stepped in and bought NVIDIA below 100, right? And you could have bought Dell Computer at 90 bucks, which today hit 110. So there's a lot of them out there, but they do swing around, and you want to make sure you watch them for a while, is my recommendation, before you just dive in.
Sure. Well, I mean, again, that's, yeah. But again, it's easy to panic, right? I mean, I know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it definitely is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that's an instinct that most of us feel.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I have to fight it. I still have to fight it, even after 30 years.
Yeah. That's good to know.
Right? Because you say to yourself, how do I know it's not the start of something worse? Right?
Yep.
How do you know when something's down 5% or 10%? How do you know next week it won't be down 20%? The answer
you
is
don't.
You don't. The answer is you don't. And so that's why a lot of people can be very well served working with an advisor. Because a lot of times you get an idea, you get a thought, you can bounce it off somebody else that's got a lot of experience. Hopefully they're a fiduciary and they're independent and they're licensed across the board, so they can give you truly objective advice about whatever you ask them. But they can help you to stay in the game, because a lot of times the key is just staying in the market. It's time in the market, not timing of the market.
Of course.
Right? Yes. You got to be in there, right? You got to be in there. It's you know, I hate to compare it to a lottery, but you aren't going to win the lottery if you're not buying the ticket, right?
Well, yeah, that's right. Exactly.
And you're not going to create wealth in the stock market unless you've got money in the stock market. So, one thing I do want to touch on, a quick side note, Steve, I heard this week, some of you guys might have heard, there are more and more of these data breaches, data hacks, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
You know, where bad people break into systems and they're stealing everybody, you know, people's personal information. And rumor has it there was a massive breach not that long ago that exposed everybody's, not just your name and address, date of birth and social security number, but also your family history going back 30 years. And so I look at that, and you got to think about those security questions for passwords, right?
Of course,
They might ask you what street you grew up on. Well, if you've got all your history, they've got a really good shot of figuring that out, right? If this, you know, what town were you born in, right? They can get access to all that information, guys. So
just a couple of people either, Kevin. I mean, I'm looking at a story from CBS. They are saying 2.9 billion records.
Yes, right?
That's like everybody.
That's like everybody. Yeah. What the U.S.
I mean, there's only 300 million in the U.S.
That's what I was going to say. It's 320, 330 million. I think the world population might be 4 to 5 billion. So take out the kids, right? Take out everybody below 18 or whatever. And, you know, that's pretty much everybody. So, guys, what you got to do, think about all your passwords, okay, because you might want to go in and change those passwords. Don't use something that's easy for somebody to figure out. Don't use something that, you know, I don't know, your birth date or your kid's birth date or the wedding date or anniversary date. You know, don't use all these things that are obvious, because especially if you're a social media user, okay?
Yes.
There are people put so much information on social media, and I'm always asking myself how they feel secure with that. Because there's so much information they can use, you know, that can harm you, that people voluntarily put it on the internet for anybody and everybody to see. So be careful with your personal information. And what you should do, in my opinion, a credit freeze is a very good tactic to employ on a regular basis. I personally have my credit and my wife's credit frozen with all three credit reporting agencies. And it doesn't mean that it's impossible for somebody to get your information, but it does make it a lot harder, okay? And any legitimate company will not issue a credit card or provide any credit, you know, like a line of credit, to anybody unless they can pull do a hard pull of your credit history.
Sure.
And so every one of those, you can go into TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. Those are your big three credit reporting agencies. Unfortunately, I believe you have to do it separately. I don't think you can do it with just – you could just freeze one of them, but you don't know who a provider is going to be using.
Yes.
So, right?
Yeah,
so
of course.
I suggest you lock all three of them, but let me give you guys a very, very, very important tip. When you do this, you're going to have to set up, like, usernames and passwords, okay? If you lose that password, you will not be able to get back into the site to unfreeze the credit, and you'll have to do it through the mail, okay? Because, unfortunately, this happened to my wife a few years back, and we couldn't find the password, and she pleaded with them on the phone. They would not do it over the phone. You have to do it the old-fashioned. It took, like, a month, okay?
Wow. Right.
So let me
ask you this, Kevin. What happens when you freeze your credit? What are you saying happens?
What happens is then if somebody goes and they try to buy a car or they try to apply for a new credit card in your name, when they go to apply for it, the vendor, the company, the retailer is going to come back and say you have to unfreeze your credit because your credit's frozen. We cannot access it. And so when they go to do a hard pull, you know, they have something called a soft pull of your credit.
Yes.
Which is still available even if it's frozen. That's not actually pulling all of your credit. I don't know the technology behind it. But it doesn't stop a soft pull. It will start a hard pull. And the hard pull is supposed to be – that's what merchants are supposed to do before they issue credit to anybody.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
So if you – and, guys, once you do it, it's really easy. Okay? I can go and unfreeze my credit in 5 minutes, and you can automatically set it to refreeze. You know, so for instance, if I'm going to buy, whatever that I want, that's, I know somebody's going to pull my credit, then I'm going to go in there and I'm going to unfreeze the credit and I'll unfreeze it for like 1 or 2 days. And because all it takes is a couple of minutes for them to pull your credit and then it automatically refreezes. And so that'll keep anybody from obtaining new line of credit or a credit card in your name. And I think it can also help prevent identity theft.
Yes.
And guys, it's free. You don't have to pay any monthly fee. You don't have to pay any one-time fee. It's totally free. Just make sure you safeguard the passwords to access the accounts.
Of course. Well, and again, when you think about it, 2.9 billion records, and yes, that, you know what, this week alone, and this is just a weird timing thing, I think, but I received two different letters from two different companies that said I was involved in a data breach.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
And here, you can sign up for free, you know, whatever
that is. Credit monitoring.
Yeah, that's that thing, Life, whatever.
Yeah, LifeLock, credit monitoring, yeah.
So, anyway, but I got two of those this week.
That's a little bit freaky.
Yeah.
Right? And I think I don't recall that ever happening to me, but I tell you what, you know, when I get in my car and I start to drive somewhere, I tell myself, I expect somebody to do something stupid. Somebody's gonna cut me off. Somebody's gonna, you know, go straight when they got their turn signal on. They're gonna stop short. Who knows what? But I tell myself to expect it, and that I believe is the key to defensive driving is to have an expectation. Things are gonna happen, and I take the same approach with my credit. I expect that they're trying to steal it. You know, I get phishing emails all the time. You know, say,
yep.
Hey, I got to update my password to Netflix, or you know, my American Express account has a problem. I don't have an American Express account.
Right. Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, right. But all these people, they send them because they're playing the ads. They're just playing the ads that if they send out to 10,000 people, there might be, you know, 50 of them that actually give them the information. And that's all they're doing is playing the ads. So protect yourself. Go out and freeze your credit. Safeguard the information. Remember that if you ever want to do anything that they got to pull your credit, like you're applying for a car loan, a mortgage, a credit card application, things like that, you know, you'll have to unfreeze it and then freeze it again. But it's a safeguard that doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
And so I like it because I always tell my wife, you know, let's look at risk reward of everything. You know, what risk is there in doing this and what are you going to get out of it? And so if I can get something where I can protect myself for free, why wouldn't I do it?
Why wouldn't you?
Right. So that would be my two cents on the data breaches, because it's going to continue to happen, guys, and it's most likely going to get worse.
Yeah, seems like it. And this one is a huge one, too.
Oh, they're huge. They're huge.
And, well, and again, so, folks, if you want to reach out to Kevin, maybe continue that conversation, 800-975-6717 is the number. You can also visit the website. silverleaffinancial.com. I just want to get that in there for us. And so we're talking about that data breach, and you mentioned something about, you know, putting the plan together, and that's the whole thing, right? One of the regrets, if you will, is that, or missteps, we wait too long to plan.
Yeah, you know, and that's it's a common mistake.
Of course.
And, you know, we say it's a mistake because just like, you know, a couple minutes ago I said the key thing about the market is time in the market, right? So obviously if you start in your 20s versus your 30s or 40s or 50s, you've got a lot more time in there. And no, there's no guarantee that investments will go higher over time, but we got 100 years of data, more than 100 years of data, where you can look at the stock market, and in every single rolling 20-year period, nobody would have ever lost money in the S&P 500 index.
Wow.
Okay? So looking back in history, so in other words, you bought it and you held it for 20 years, whether it's from 1952 to 72 or 75 to 95 or 2000 to 2020, every 20-year period, rolling 20-year period, going back 100 years, you would have made money. All right. So and then when you look at the stats, 3 times out of 4, 75% of the time, roughly, the stock market goes higher. All right. Now, we also know it goes lower. OK.
Yep.
So I'm not telling you it only goes one direction. My point being is that we need to change your mindset so that when you see a decline in the market, that your impulse is to buy, not to sell. You need to change that. I think you do it through conditioning and psychology. There's something called classical conditioning. I think that's what you do. That's what I've tried to do for myself for over 30 years.
Right.
Is to recognize declines as a sale. It's a discount. It's a time to be a buyer. It's a time to be greedy, like Warren Buffett says, not fearful.
Not fearful. Right. Easier said than done sometimes, I know. But
No doubt.
And we got to get on the plan. We want to, you know, we talk about this often, Kevin, and I love your philosophy on debt and or getting rid of it.
Yeah. Yep, you know
and your philosophy, I'll just say it quickly. You don't like it.
That's
you
right.
Don't allow it.
That I don't like it at all, and I don't allow. I try not to allow it in my household.
Yes.
You know, and I just think it's a weight. To me, it's like a weight, you know, around your neck that's just holding you back. It's this weight that you got to carry everywhere you go, and I don't want to carry any extra weight, figuratively or literally.
Yeah.
And I think that debt that you have, especially now. Interest rates have come up. I just saw the average car loan is 9.5% now. The average new car loan is 9.5%. And the average sticker price is almost 50 grand. Okay? So if you're taking out a $40,000 loan, right, 9.5%, that's $3,800 in interest you're going to pay in that first year, roughly. $3,800 in interest.
Jeez.
$300 a month you're paying in interest. All right? So I don't know about you guys, but when I look at, like I used to look at my mortgage, at this point, we don't have any debt. Everything's paid for, house, cars, all of it. Because I would look at my statements and I'd look at how I focused on how much interest I was paying because I wanted it to annoy me so that I would pay it off.
All right? You know yourself.
At least in that regard, I think I do.
Yeah.
But that's what I would do because if you look at how your loan, you know, the amortization of your loan, it's important to understand that word. Because what it means is that you're paying a ton. You're paying a shit ton, if you will, of
yes.
interest up front, guys. That first year is like 95% interest, all right? The maximum amount. You get a $2,000 mortgage in that first year, probably $1,900 is interest.
Sure
all
is.
Right? So take a look at that and then realize in the course of a year, look at how much interest you're paying in the course of a year, all right? And then what you got to do is when you're thinking about getting another car, ask yourself if you could get by in a cheaper one. Could you get by in a $20,000 car or $30,000 instead of paying $50,000?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Would it do what you need it to do? Okay. Because I think people, they spend a lot of money on cars, myself included. I've done it. I'm still driving an 03. I did. For the record, I've talked before about how I hate people wasting money on new cars.
Yes.
Guess what, Steve? I just bought a new car.
Congratulations.
All right. And so I feel like I need to explain it because I do have a history of telling people it's a depreciating asset. Why are you putting all that money into a car?
Yeah.
All right. So in this case, my wife was driving an 03 as well. So we both had our cars for 21 years. And for the last few years, I kept telling her, you know, you can get one more year. because I just didn't want to spend the money on it.
Yeah.
And you know, but what happened, it got to the point that, safety started to be more of a consideration. I wanted the new safety features. You know, our car had front airbags, right? But an 03 car did not have any side airbags, no airbags in the roof. You know,
right.
didn't have the technology, the sensors, or a lot of the stuff you have in a normal in a new car now was not available 20 years ago, including ventilated seats, by the way, which are a fantastic thing if you live in the desert in Arizona.
Oh yes, yeah, I can agree. I can attest to that. Yes,
that was a mandatory option for me, and so nonetheless, I started comparing prices. I shopped around. I looked at all the different dealers, and I told myself I need to know the market. Right, you need to study the market before you make a move and buy it. Just like you do with stocks, okay? Same thing. So I studied the market. I looked at the numbers. And as it turns out, used car prices have gone up so much in the last few years with COVID that there was – because I would always say get a used car with a couple thousand
miles
on it, right?
That's what everybody says, yeah.
The difference between that and a brand new one was like $1,000.
Yeah, so go new. Why not?
Because then with a brand new one, you get that much longer of a warranty, right?
Yes.
Because your factory warranty starts when the very first person bought the car. That's when the factory warranty starts. So I wanted the extended warranty. I mean, the maximum, not the extended warranty, I misspoke. I wanted the full factory warranty.
Yes.
I like the idea of a new car, and the plan is to keep it another 20 years.
Yeah, why not?
Right? And so right. I think if that's your plan, because I know I'm going to maintain it, I know we're going to take really good care of it, and I think I can get at least 20 years. I could probably get another 20 years out of my Lexus. And maybe I will. Who knows?
Maybe.
All right, but point being, just know the market where you're at to buy it, right? And then take a look, compare. I had him go over lease terms, and then I had him go over loan terms, and then I said, well, all right, what would you give me? I would just pay cash. And so I wound up just paying cash, and because the loan they were offering was 6%. And I said, I'm not paying 6%. And apparently tier one credit is around 6% on a new car loan these days.
All right.
So anyway... Just do the math, run the numbers, see what makes the most sense for you. But please try to drive that car until the wheels are about ready to fall off.
Yeah.
Right. That's where hers. We had a couple lights on the dashboard. For like the last year.
Sure.
And so I made sure with my mechanic it was still safe to drive. Right.
Yep.
So that's a little lesson. So hopefully it'll be another 20 years before I get buy another new car.
But it is not from a technology standpoint. It's a different world, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, it's a totally different world. It's incredible. Yeah. Like, just the dashboard is.
I know.
Like, oh my God. And ventilated seats, I've certainly never had those, but I'm totally in love with those.
Oh yeah.
And those are nice. And just so many other features, that like I said, there's a lot of safety features that have been big improvements in the last 20 years. And that's really what it is because, like I said, every time we go out on the road, I swear somebody comes so close to running into us.
I know.
And I told my wife, you need to park at least 5 cars away from everybody now. Keep that thing looking nice. Keep it looking good.
Yes, exactly.
Right, right. But listen, we started the show talking about retirement planning, right?
Yes.
And we mentioned how a lot of times folks wait too long to plan, so you want to get started early so you have that benefit of more time in the market.
Yes.
And you want to make sure you set goals, right? And when you set goals, you want to put pen to paper, okay? I know a lot of us think, hey, I've got it in my mind, that's good enough. But there's something about putting pen to paper that makes it just come to life. And I've done that with my job. I've done that with physical fitness. I've done it with all sorts of things. I'm a big believer in writing down your goals. And I think then you should revisit them on a regular basis. You want to review them, review your portfolio, and make sure you're on track. See if anything has changed. Did you get married or divorced, have kids, grandkids, who knows? And so the other thing we talked about is debt. I really think if you want to limit, at all the debt, because you're just making the banker rich, right? Look at Jamie Dimon, worth billions, okay?
Yeah.
The guy that runs Chase, all right? Look at the big bankers. These guys are multi-billionaires. They don't need any more of your interest money, all right? They'll take it, but they don't need it. But the way they got rich is by loaning money to people that pay back interest, all right? And so I think it's important, do your best to pay off your debt. That's going to get your bills as low as they can possibly be, because one of the other reasons I'm doing that is I'm trying to eliminate taxable income in retirement. And so what I'm doing is I'm utilizing Roth IRA accounts for me and my wife, as well as a health savings account for both of us. And those are my tax-free accounts that I'm aiming for the most growth. So those are the accounts that I hold things like NVIDIA and big growth stocks that I'm hoping for a lot of growth. Why wouldn't I want it to be tax-free? So I'm doing those in my tax-free account because we have no debt. we'll be really close to being able to live off of my Social Security alone. And then with the standard deduction being, what, 28 grand, 29,000, I think, for a couple,
sure.
Right?
Yep, I think that's right.
So you take half of your Social Security. Let's say you're getting 3 grand a month in Social Security, so you'd have 18 grand. So we can make roughly another, you know, roughly another $1,000 a month taxable and still pay no income tax. Okay?
Man, that's a sweet deal, Kevin, really, truly. And again, so this is what you're willing and you have done for other people.
Yes, 100%, 100%. And that's exactly what I do, guys, and that's what I want to help you with, is to help you to minimize the taxes, right? Get the growth that you need so you can live the retirement, have the retirement life that you want, and have an income plan, right? We want to put together a plan for your income because we have to replace that paycheck, okay? And so we got to figure out how we're going to do that. And so then we'll go down, you know, as we talk about eliminating debt, we want to look at your budget, right? We want to make sure you've got an emergency fund. So if your, you know, air conditioner breaks in Phoenix in August, you got to have money available immediately to fix it, right?
Right.
You can't wait a month. Not out here. So you want to make sure we have these things in place. The emergency fund is one of the first things I recommend. If you're young, just getting started, the first thing you should try to focus on is put together an emergency fund that is about 6 months of your expenses. So if your living expenses are $3,000 a month, then you should have $18,000-$20,000 in an emergency account. An ideal place to put that emergency fund is an online money market. You can get 4.5%, 5% with no fees, no charges, and no commitment right now on any number of money markets, and that's where I have mine personally. All right, so make sure you've got the emergency fund set up, and then you want to try to prioritize as much as you can, make those contributions to the retirement plans, especially up to the match. If you've got an employer match, please make sure you're taking advantage of that. That's free money. It's literally free money. And you know, Steve, one of the things that surprised me,
because I've been
self-employed my whole career, so I don't, you know, I am the employer and the employee, so I don't really have a match, right? What surprised me is the number of people I've sat down with, and they give me their statements for their 401k, and the majority of them break down the employee contributions and then the employer contributions. I can't tell you how many I've seen where the company put in more money into the person's 401k than the employee themselves did.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking $5,000. It's six figures. And these are people that did that. They took advantage of the company match for their entire career. And the other thing that actually shocked me when I saw it, because somebody in a business like I'm in, our income fluctuates.
Sure.
Pretty dramatically sometimes. And so it has not been when I ask people to pull their Social Security to make sure that they're getting credit for every year that they've worked. A lot of them will show me, they'll bring in their Social Security statement and show it to me. And it goes back, and I can see, you know, 1980, 81, 82, the last 40, 50 years, whatever it is they've been working, and it shows every year how much they made, how much you paid Medicare, Social Security, and so on. And some people, I look at them, they work at like a really big company. Every year for 30 years, they've made more money. Every single year. And I got to say, it just shocked me initially because it's never been like that for me. Never. Huh. And I'll have a really good year and then not as good a year. And then a really good couple of years and then not as good a year. And so it was just surprising to me because that hasn't been my experience. If you're in that position, congratulations. Fantastic. A lot of these big companies can be awesome places to work. They've got, a lot of them have really good benefits packages. A lot of them will even provide you a pension or the match on your 401k. I met a person that's getting a 10% match on their 401k.
10%?
10%.
Sign me up.
That's what I told her. I said, I said you really need to do everything you can to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Because that's huge. Most it's like 2 or 3%.
Yeah.
Hers is 10. So guys, definitely take advantage of your 401k and your retirement plans because it might seem a long way off, but you will get there. And when you do get to that retirement point, you want to have a healthy, healthy, significant portfolio so that you don't have to work until your full retirement age, you know, of 67 or whatever it might be. You know, if you want to retire at 62 and live off your investments for 5 years before you claim, one good way to do it is by having a healthy nest egg. You can live off that, and I can show you how you can do it.
Sure. Well, again, we're talking about, the 401k and the match. And here's a statistic I just stumbled on today. 2019, this is according to Vanguard. In 2019, an estimated 74% of 401k plans offered a Roth savings feature. By 2023, that number had grown to 82%, and among larger plans, 95% made a Roth available. You got to find out if you don't know, folks, because, I mean, the majority of the companies, obviously, are offering a Roth option.
Especially the bigger ones. The Fortune 500 companies?
Yeah.
Most likely they have that available. And, pardon me, the person that I was talking about a minute ago with a 10% match, they'll do that on a Roth 401k too, by the way.
Oh, man.
I just said, holy cow, that is fantastic.
That is fantastic.
So, guys, if you have that option, if you have that ability, you know, we were talking about taxes earlier. Deferring taxes has been proven time and time and time again. And the reason why deferring taxes work, in other words, you put money into a retirement account, right? A lot. If you're deferring taxes, then you're going into a traditional retirement account, IRA, 401k. So you're not paying taxes when it goes in, right? And then it grows tax deferred, but you're going to pay taxes when it comes out, right? So the taxes are deferred. They're not eliminated, but they're put off, right? And so because you don't, you get the growth of all that money, and you're not withdrawing some of that money to pay the tax bill, the compound effect makes it very powerful. That when you're able to defer taxes. It's the same principle, by the way, with any retirement account, which is the same principle with an after-tax, you know, annuity for the record, right?
Sure.
It grows tax deferred just like the IRA, and when you pull the money out, it's taxed just like income, just like your retirement accounts. It's the same treatment. So my point is you want to defer that as long as possible to get the maximum growth. I also believe that if you have the ability to put money into a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k, you should definitely take advantage of it, especially if you're below the age of 40. And I say below the age of 40 because to me that means you should have at least 20 years for that money to grow. And in a 20-year period of time, you should have four times the amount of money. Okay? Let's go back a second. Look at the rule of 72. That's how often your money will double. If you're getting a 7.2% return every year for 10 years, you have roughly a double. If you continue to get that for the next 10 years, you've got another double, hence four times your money, okay? So when you're thinking about whether you put it into a traditional account or a Roth account, ask yourself how much time you have and what sort of growth you expect to see. Because I'm going to suggest to you, you're better off paying the tax on a seed when you plant it, okay? And then 20 years later when you harvest that crop, don't pay tax on the crop. Pay tax on the seed. In other words, pay tax on the $5,000 going in there instead of the $20,000 when you pull it out.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right?
That's just math.
I think, to me, it's just math. I think they're underutilized, guys. Do the math. Guys, if you're in your 20s, 30s, even early 40s, I strongly advocate the Roth and the health savings account if you're able to. All right? Take a look at them. In best case scenario, you want to have both. Because then when you're in retirement and we're trying to figure out how to minimize your taxes, we can take it from the taxable account or from the tax-free account, and that's how we can do the best job managing your tax bill when you're in retirement.
That sounds great, Kevin. I know we're up on time here, but I got to ask, it's been good news on the economy this week, right? I mean, that's been pretty good news all week.
Definitely. In fact, the reason we got this rally Thursday is exactly that, because the inflation numbers and the jobs numbers said, you know what, it does not look like there's any recession coming.
Yeah, exactly.
We're still seeing strong growth at just under 3% growth across the board, which is actually still stronger than the Fed wants. Unemployment is still very, very low, and our productivity is very strong. So our economy is doing well. In fact, our government has gotten the inflation level. Guys, inflation has hit virtually every country around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Inflation was caused by COVID and the pandemic, not by this administration or the last administration. It was caused by the pandemic and everything that happened. That's why it's happened around the world. But the good news is that the U.S. has done the best job of any developed country getting inflation down. We're doing the best job across the globe, okay? So I think Powell and the central bank has done a fantastic job. To me, the market looks very good. I think you should continue to invest. If you're a long-term player, continue to invest and try to take advantage of that weakness like we talked about earlier.
Man.
information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise to create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.